Jason Longshore, analyst for Atlanta United. Unpredictable, man. Unforeseen. I mean, I'm trying to think of all the adjectives, right, that have been used over the last few days. What do you think about when you witnessed what you guys saw down there and the upset, the biggest upset in MLS history? I think it is. And, Jason, you can put that in perspective for our audience. But Atlanta United beating Inter Miami, what's the word that comes to your mind?
I don't think there is one. I mean, it's just been honestly the craziest ride of this club's history. What they've done, going all the way back to Decision Day. I mean, I feel like we've talked about it a lot this season. When you look at what hasn't been there for Atlanta United in 2024 up until this run, they weren't scoring goals. They were creating the chances, and they weren't finding the back of the net. And when you go back and you look at what they've done even before Decision Day, the last time they had a match where they did not score was the home loss to Nashville. They're scoring. And it's from a variety of different people. It's in a variety of different ways. But they're finding the back of the net, and you've tightened up defensively. And, you know, if you want to get down to the really simplistic nature of breaking down what has evolved for this group, they're scoring more goals and they're giving up less. And that right. has made the difference in this group. You know, there's reasons for both, but they're actually getting the goals, the expected goals. This is one of the crazier things about this matchup. And, it's
and by
why,
the way, Jason, for guys who don't follow soccer, explain what that factoid, what's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, and it's, when you look at Miami and you look at Atlanta and you compare it, expected goals is something that it's not exact, but basically it puts a percentage value on where a shot is taken from as to how likely it is to end up in the back of the net. Again, it's not perfect. It doesn't take into account if the player is on their off foot. It doesn't take into account how much pressure they're under, all those sorts of things. But when you look at expected goals for the entire season, Atlanta accumulated more expected goals than Miami did. The difference was Miami had guys who were putting the ball in the back of the net way above where their expected goal number was, and Atlanta was not meeting their expected goal, almost the same both ways in terms of plus 20, minus 20. It's crazy that you get them into a matchup here, and when you look at the course of the action over three games, Atlanta was the better team, and they were the better team in terms of creating chances. They were the better team in terms of defending. They were the better team in the run of play in three games against a team that set the all-time points record in this league. The biggest difference, Mike, and, you know, we talk about this right. in other sports too, the biggest difference about this Miami team compared to many other great teams in any league's history, what can the best teams usually do well? They can defend. They are tough to break down. They're tough to beat. This Miami team was not that. What they would do is just go and terrify you with their offense. But if you could handle their offense, their defense was weak, and Atlanta exploited it in three games.
Huh. It is Jason Longshore joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We're talking about Atlanta United, who moves on in the MLS playoffs. Jason, when did this team take a turn, in your opinion? Like, you always want to be playing your best at the end of the season, and obviously we're playing really well right now. But it's still about matchups, right? These fights are about you know, how you match up with teams, and you're telling us that we matched up actually with Miami really well, and that also helped. But talk about the makeup of the team, and where do you think it took the turn where things started to look like this was even a possibility?
I don't know if there's one moment where it felt different, but maybe that moment is when Lionel Messi checked into the game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium back in mid-September. Team was coming off of a bad loss at home to Nashville, an inexplicably bad loss that looked like it was going to doom the entire potential for getting into the postseason. The game up to that point against Miami at home wasn't great. And the buzz in the building when Messi starts to warm up and checks in, and that stuff you expect. But then that buzz turned to Atlanta support really quickly because they outplayed Miami in the rest of that game. It ends up a 2-2 draw. That was where it started to feel like, wait a minute, this team's got some life to it. The two results on the road, the Red Bulls game, the Philadelphia game, of course at that stage you needed 3 points to get into the playoffs more comfortably than you did. But those are really good results in hindsight. Philadelphia, that's been one of the toughest places to get a point across the league over the past few years. The Red Bulls, we know how difficult it is to get points in that building. And you found ways to do it. And it felt like this team had a little something different about them than we had seen up to that point.
Jason Longshore is with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline as United shocks the world, seriously, with the win over the Inter-Miami squad. All right, we've talked about it a few dozen times. I'll ask you again. We heard Garth Lagerwey on our airwaves today. I get it. There's some bigger name dudes. But this guy's, he's weaving magic. Rob Valentino's 38. They seem to respond to him, all the things you just talked about. I mean, wouldn't that be, if nothing else, like, and by the way, he gets the job. Let's get out there and win one for the skipper. What's the holdup on this? Why? What is the argument against giving the interim the full-time manager job?
It's not an easy argument for me to make against it because I think Rob has done more than you could have ever asked for. I mean, when you look at what he has to work with right now, you know, they don't have that starting top striker that this team wants and this team had before they had to sell Yorgos Giakoumakis because he wanted to go. They have a different kind of number 10 that Rob and his staff have had to incorporate in Alexei Maranchuk. And I think we're seeing how good he is, but he's so different than what Thiago Almada was. So you can't just plug and play. You have to figure it out. He's had to deal with all the other stuff that you always have to deal with injuries, national team call-ups, guys in good form, guys struggling for form. He's managed all of it, and he's brought this group together. And as many of the players have said, he has consistently made them believe that they can get through this. I think he is a great motivator. I think he's a great man manager. I would love to see what he can do with a full strength roster that this team would intend to build in the offseason. I'd love to see what he can do with that. I think tactically he's had to adjust. You know, this has been a team that historically has wanted more of the ball and been a heavy possession team. They've had to learn on the fly, which is not easy to do, to get comfortable without the ball, but not be a purely defensive team either. Like we said, this team's scoring goals right now, right? So they found that balance of giving up possession, being secure defensively, being comfortable without the ball, but then when they get their opportunities to attack, they're doing it in a variety of ways, creative ways, and they're converting. So to do all of those different things in this short period of time, knock out Miami, go to Montreal, get the result, go to Orlando, get the result, he's absolutely put himself into that conversation, and he deserves all the consideration possible for it. I would love to see it because I think what he's done over this run of games, he's earned it. He's earned that opportunity.
Tell us about what's next, and how do we match up? Where are they? I'm talking about our opponent in the semis. And certainly, you know, what chances do you feel like we have going into this? Obviously, you come off of a win like this, right? Everybody says, oh, sky's the limit. Okay, do we lose the momentum here? Or is it just simply, hey, we're still playing at a high level and we can go into this match feeling really good about ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, talking about the things that we've went into about what this team has done differently, they're secure defensively. Okay, you need that in a knockout game on the road. They've been, you know, you can call it opportunistic. You can call it efficient in the attack. They've been scoring goals, 3 last time out, 2 the time before that. You know, 6 goals against Miami in 3 games. They're finding the back of the net consistently. They found the back of the net consistently against Orlando this season. So this is, you know, a team right now that you do have to find a way to deal with the international break, guys going away to national teams, come back in, get that vibe back where it's been, get that mentality back where it's been. But you're not going to do anything dramatically different tactically than you did against Orlando about a month ago, 3 weeks ago. You know, you're going to play that way against them. So you don't have to do a whole lot there. You want guys to be fully rested when they get back in, and you want to get them down to Orlando with the belief that, just like you did 3 weeks ago, you can beat this team in their own house. And when you look historically at Atlanta in Orlando, it's a really good record for Atlanta United in that building.
All right, man. It's been a Cinderella type run. The only way it gets better is I think if Valentino gets the gig. We'll wait and see on that. By the way, just a follow up. We're going to talk about Tua's crazy head first tackle coming up in an NFL blitz at 3 o'clock. But Jason, who would the suspects be for a head coaching search? By the way, if they're not going to go with Valentino.
It's a good question. I mean, we've heard Patrick Vieira's name thrown around, French legend in the midfield, Arsenal legend in the midfield, managed New York City in the past, managed Crystal Palace. That's been reported that he has been a candidate. We know Jim Curtin's name came up. That's been reported. He's out of a job now in Philadelphia. I don't know. And that's what's so interesting about it. And you guys are used to this from the Falcon side of things as well. There aren't going to be a whole lot of leaks out of either of those offices in terms of who you're talking to and what might pop up. You're going to find out when you're going to find out. It's been fascinating that there really hasn't been much conversation around it outside of those two little bits of reporting about Vieira and about Curtin turning down an opportunity to interview when he was still employed by the Philadelphia Union. So I'm very intrigued to see where this goes. And my hunch would be that whatever the conversation was going into decision day, coming out of that international break, it's got to be different now, right?
Mm-hmm. Jason, great stuff. Can't wait to see how this plays out. Don't know where it goes, but it's a fun ride. And I, as I said, unexpected. And I'm fine with that because we're all about chips. You know that on this show. It's all about winning, and hopefully we can win another one. Jason Longshore, you'll hear him along with Mike Conti with the call, guys, as Atlanta United continues this journey. Thanks so much, Jason.